It's wonderful to be back in Syracuse. Thank you, Ashok. Thank you, Kit. And I do really need to recognize someone without whom I literally would not be here today, and that is my dear mother. You don't generally get to say that, but Phyllis Riker, a longtime teacher in the Syracuse area, a woman who gives so much to her family and to her community, also my cousin Chucky Holstein, a real force in Syracuse, including her leadership of Focus Syracuse. I have relatives here, the Sage family. It's great to be home, and thank you all. And thank you to all of our students. We really need you to learn a lot and make a big difference going forward. I love this line, the future is not what it used to be. If there was ever a moment, Hurricane Sandy, breathing in Beijing. But there's good news, as you heard from Ashok. Take a look at this. This is the growth of solar, 250,000 megawatts, 100,000 megawatts globally right now. The growth of wind, 250,000 megawatts globally. We've seen huge price declines and big growth in these technologies. Another big change, shale rock. Will it power the world? This is a piece of this energy system, and it's given a real challenge to renewables in terms of their economics, as we'll talk about, and as many of you in this room know. Look at the price drop in natural gas from almost $12 a thousand cubic feet to $4 a thousand cubic feet. This is a part of this energy system. Well, if the future is not what it used to be, the best way to predict the future is, in fact, to invent it. And that's what's so exciting about this area. Look at what we are going to spend globally between now and 2035 on basic energy infrastructure. Clean, not so clean, it's ours to choose. $38 trillion. That's why the business community is so vitally interested in the energy system going forward. And how are we going to get there? This is my favorite triangle. This is the triangle that I have lived my career by, that I try to teach students about. Technology, policy, finance. We've got to integrate all three of these. Ashok referenced these. If we don't put these together, if we're not smart at each point of this triangle, if each of us at one of those points doesn't have some understanding about the other two points of the triangle, we're not going to move forward toward the sustainable energy future. We're not going to get the reduction in greenhouse gases we need. We're not going to seize this opportunity of $38 trillion. Let's quickly walk around this triangle. The technologies, they're pretty straightforward. If it's stationary energy, you can make it cleaner, you can modernize the grid, and you can increase efficiency. If it's our vehicles, you can deploy alternative fuels, electrify the fleet, and increase vehicle efficiency. This is important. This is the technology pipeline. We start with ideas, we move them through R&D, small-scale demos, we try them out. We try to commercialize them and get them to full-scale where the project finance community will make large-scale investments. Policy matters. When the wind production tax credit is in effect, we have seen large deployment of wind. When it expires, as it regularly does, unfortunately, we've seen a dramatic drop-off. We've dropped down to barely 1,000 in 2013 as a result of a problem with the production tax credit. It almost ran out, and the wind community assumed that it had in terms of its investment decision making. So a big, big drop off. And now we're struggling to reinstitute that tax credit in Washington. States, very vital. We are sitting in a very vital state. This is where we were in 2001 with renewable portfolio standards. These are the standards that have in so many ways with these federal tax credits have driven the growth of renewable energy. Big movement, big success in putting these renewable portfolio standards on the books. Really filling in the map, but we got a long, long way to go. We're still at relatively modest percentages. Now, finance, we're working our way around the triangle. Here's the key in your understanding of that. We talk a lot about venture capital, green tech investing, clean tech investing. This is small amounts of capital in high-risk companies and technologies, small amounts of capital. Where we've got to get to is large amount of capital being invested in technologies with low risk, well proven, ready to scale. And this is the challenge, moving from what the venture community with government support and from others can do in getting this to full scale and large amounts of capital flowing. Lots of money flowing into clean energy over the last 10 years or so. on the order of between $50 billion and $75 billion a quarter globally. Most of that is going into projects. A small amount of that is going into earlier stage investing. I want to touch on two out of three policy and finance challenges that I see. I'm happy to talk about the third, which is increasing the availability of capital for energy efficiency. But the first two are how we better commercialize clean energy technology, and the second is how we drive down the cost of capital, how we lower the cost of financing renewable energy technology going forward. So let's look back at this pipeline again. Commercialization is what I want to focus on for a minute. We call commercialization the valley of death. The venture community, government, moves technologies to a point at which they work at small scale. But then they enter this very challenging area where a lot of money needs to be spent to get them to full commercial scale. Too much money for the venture world, typically. Too high risk for the traditional project finance world. That's where we get caught in the valley of death. 65 years fracking has taken to cross that valley. Lots and lots of technologies had to converge, lots of government support. We saw a big rise in the price of natural gas at the moment when these technologies converged, and that technology moved forward. Interesting question. Will we do the same for some of these renewable energy technologies? I call an advanced geothermal technology called EGS, Enhanced Geothermal Systems, the first cousin of fracking. We've been at it for a few decades. We've made good progress. It's got a lot of promise. This is not traditional geothermal where you drill into a pocket of steam or hot water. This is where you drill deep into dry, hot rock, crack the rock, put water down there, bring it back up, make steam, and turn a turbine. Huge potential going forward, but not seeing the same kind of support from government and industry that we saw with natural gas fracking. And the open question whether we're going to make the kind of progress we need to put this technology into place. But just as we saw with other traditional technologies, lots of commercialization risks that need to be addressed going forward. Ashok mentioned offshore wind, fantastic potential, close to our big cities. Onshore wind is well proven. Offshore wind in shallow areas is reasonably well proven. You go into deeper waters where you've got to sink foundations. We're in a demonstration phase for the most part. And if you go into the very deep water where our biggest resources are, we're still in that earlier development phase. Here's why it matters, and Ashok alluded to this. The big wind resources in this country are in the middle of the country and off the two coasts. We have shallow enough waters off the East Coast that we can set these turbines on the bottom. Off the West Coast, where I live, we do not. Immediately drops off into thousands and thousands of feet. We've got to move towards these floating turbines. The good news is there's projects. You'll hear later about these from our colleague at the Department of Energy. There are projects to prove these out. There's a lot of investment globally in this, but we got a long way to go to commercialize these technologies. But it's a big opportunity going forward, and we're excited to see the focus that this is beginning to get. Lots of ways to advance commercialization. One of them is the loan guarantee program that the Department of Energy has been running for the last several years. Lots of money flowing into the development of various technologies. Unfortunately, the way most of us know this program, Solyndra. But the real honest news is this has been quite a successful program to date. Tesla Automobile, subject of the loan guarantee program, $500 million loan guarantee paid back already 10 years early. My view is that to date, the taxpayer has done pretty well with these some 33 loan guarantees issued by the federal government. $34 billion to date committed, $18 billion dispersed, relatively small percentage, under 10% in terms of losses, total economics leverage more than $55 billion. This is a program, despite what the press tells you about Solyndra, that to date has performed quite well on behalf of the federal taxpayers, advancing a whole range of energy technologies from renewables to advanced nuclear power. Where much of the commercialization support, in fact, these days is coming from is China. The Chinese have decided that this whole area of clean energy technology is going to be a vital part of their economic future. Lots of recent investments by the Chinese in U.S. energy companies struggling to commercialize technologies. Some of these actually supported by the U.S. federal government and by taxpayers. The Chinese now far and away the largest investor in renewable energy. As they've grown, our relative proportion in the U.S. has shrunk. And an important perspective. The Chinese have decided this is going to be a vital part of their clean energy portfolio. Finally, deployment at scale, and I'll be done in 2 minutes. So we've commercialized the technology, gotten that far. Now the question is, how do you get it financed at large scale? The truth is that our favorite technologies in the renewables areas still cost more than traditional technologies to a large extent. Primarily these days, natural gas and coal. We have some distance to go in bringing down those costs. We've made huge costs in dropping the cost of the technologies themselves, the solar panels, the wind turbines. Where we have not made as much progress is lowering the cost of capital, what it takes to finance a project. It's as if you bought a house, you got a good deal on a house, but the mortgage rate was too high. Part of the reason for this is our reliance on tax credits, solar tax credits, wind tax credits. These turn out to be relatively inefficient ways of financing renewable energy projects for these reasons. They're on again, off again. They tie up capital for long periods of time. There's a very small group of investors, and this world of tax equity, as we call it, is expensive. Let me get to a final point here. There is a better way to do this, something we've been working on hard, called Master Limited Partnerships and Real Estate Investment Trust. This is how much of the traditional energy industry has been financing projects for decades. These are authorizations on the books in Washington permanently. They do not have to be reauthorized like the tax credits. Lower cost of capital, huge amounts of money flowing in through these mechanisms into the oil and gas industry, into electricity transmission. They're traded like stocks. You can buy a share of a development in an oil and gas pipeline. You can't do the same in a wind project today. The good news is there's legislation pending in Washington, one called the MLP Parity Act, which in fact would expand master limited partnerships to renewables, biofuels, efficiency, combined heat and power, carbon capture, electricity storage, and others. Administratively, we could extend real estate investment trusts to clean energy. Bipartisan letter to the president in 2012 saying, Mr. President, we ought to move on this. And finally, in some testimony that I gave in the House last fall, I said, yes, we should extend the wind production tax credit for another few years, but we should phase it down. And over time, we should move to the use of master limited partnerships and real estate investment trusts. And if we did that, we'd be a lot further along in lowering the cost of these technologies, moving them through this technology pipeline, getting them deployed at large scale, and enjoying all the environmental and economic benefits of that. Thank you very much.